And holy and righteous God, as we gather here as a church, we ask you, Lord God, to be in our midst by your Holy Spirit. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. Speak, Lord God, for your children are listening. Speak a word of love and a word of hope and a word of peace, Lord God, a word of unity into our lives, into our church, and into our nation. Speak, God. Speak, because we need to hear from you. You are over all creation, Lord God. And so, God, we ask you now to let us feel your holy presence among us and through us by your Spirit. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. My sermon title today is Don't Stop Now. You must be wondering what I'm telling you not to stop doing now. And hopefully it is something good. Because whatever you're doing that is not good, any of us, me included, we ought to stop. But don't stop doing the good that you're doing. And I will expound on that statement later on. There's a word which appears in both scriptures. One explicitly, as I was telling the children, that which means openly, plainly. And one implicitly, which is indirectly, discreetly. Which is my focus for today's message. We have heard the gospel read about the woman, this woman who I'll explain later on. There is this woman, it says, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. And then he told them, he said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. And in that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. So one would say this widow was persistent, right? Persistent. She's coming, she's bothering him, so to speak, and she keeps coming. She's persistent. It doesn't say the word persistent, but in her actions, she is persistent, right? And it goes on, and verse 7 it says, and will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? This persistence paid off, didn't it? Will pay off. And then we look at the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4. He speaks to the young Timothy, and he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, this is the second half, in the day of the beginning, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. Be persistent in what you're doing when you're doing it right. The word is persistent, and it means continually, firmly, or in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Continually, firmly, no matter what. Continue to exist or endure under a prolonged period. And so we see the word persistent being in both texts today, and what are we going to be persistent in? Both texts, and I'm going to first look at prayer. for one brief moment because my key theme will come out of 2 Timothy. It says, I read this reflection that says, I believe persistent prayer is very important. Even when such prayers are not answered in the ways we think best, it is important to be unrelenting in our prayers. Not only because of the changes our prayers may elicit in God's mind, but for the changes such prayers can work in our own hearts and minds. As Frederick Buchner said years ago, persistence is a key, not because you have to beat a path to God's door before God will open it, but because until you beat the path, maybe there's no way of getting to your door. You don't have to beat a path to God's door, but it's for us to be persistent. And certainly we do see in this story with this woman. And then there's another short reflection that says, God knows what I need. It says, a little boy knelt down to say his bedtime prayers. His parents heard him reciting the alphabet in very reverent tones. He was reciting the alphabet. When asked what he was doing, he replied, I'm saying my prayers, but I cannot think of the exact words tonight. So I'm just saying all the letters. God knows what I need, and he'll put the words together for me. Aww. How true that is. He was just going to say the alphabet because God knows what he needs, and God is going to take it and put it together for him. Yet he was persistent. Now that is not far from the proper way to pray, says the writer. In seeking prayer, we are looking for Christ's mind. We are not sure quite how to word our prayer. So we ask God to take our words and fit them into the correct prayer. We ask him to edit our prayers by cutting out the unnecessary, making corrections and adding the necessities. We ask God to take our minds and make them his. We ask the Holy Spirit to pray through us. And then we seek in prayer like that. Jesus assures us in the text, we shall find. And so this woman, even though this judge did not care about this woman, right? Did not care about God. Did not care about anything good because she was persistent in prayer. He felt as if she was bothering him, and he did not want to be bothered anymore. I really do think we have to just pray and pray until our breakthrough comes. Because God's timing is not our timing. Is it now, friends? Some of us have prayed for things now in short period of time, and we've heard the answers. Some of us have been praying for a long time, and we're still waiting for the answer. Is there an amen to that? There are people who are praying, and I've heard the answers. I've been praying for some things for a long time. Haven't heard the answer, but I am still going to be what? Persistent in prayer. Because I don't have anything else. Other people have other things. I have tried prayer and found it to work for me. At least it gives me peace to know that there are things bigger than me and out of my hands, and there is a creator who knew something more than I knew, because the creator created the universe. Somebody did. I know I don't really believe that it came together by the Big Bang theory. So I want to clear that up right away. I believe there's a creator. And so I am persistent in asking the one who I know will answer my prayers for an answer. And there are times when God says no. There are times when God says wait. There are times when God says not now. And then there are times when God says yes. Yes, immediately. But the key is, it is a relationship through prayer that we are building. So we see this woman in this short gospel text, Jesus gave this little parable. And I read this reflection, which I was going to read, and I says, no, it says, they wonder why Jesus did not name this parable, the parable of the crazy woman. Because some have said this woman was constantly going to the Lord. And sometimes there are people who think, those of us who believe in prayer and believe in seeking prayer, that we're crazy. Do you know that? But you're in good company. There's some lot of crazy people like Bonhoeffer and Luther and lots of folks that went before us, and Paul, and lots of brilliant intellectual minds. Lots of folks who wasn't that brilliant like me. Lots who are less brilliant than I am. And Lord knows that there's hardly anybody that way, because I'm at the bottom of the level of those guys. But lots of folks who have believed, who have tried everything else, and I've come back to realize it, to realize that prayer is the key to the heart of God. There is a place of quiet prayer near to the heart of God, the songwriters say, right? A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, send from the heart of God. You know that song, near to the heart of God. There's that place that you feel this peace and this hope. You know, our Rosa is not here today, but her father passed yesterday morning. The Lord took him home at 85. Thanks be to God that he wouldn't have to suffer through the cancer, which was found out just immediately, so soon. But what did we have to give? What did I have to give, Rosa? What do we have to give but to pray with her and to tell her that if her father, you know, believe in the Lord and die knowing Christ, he is at home with the Lord.
Amen.
Right? And yesterday morning, I was up in Albany, and it was early in the morning. I was getting ready for this board meeting that I went to attend from Friday to Saturday morning. And the meeting was starting at 8:15, and then my phone rang at 8, and it was Rosa, and I heard her wailing. And she said, she was there at night, and the father passed away. And she says, Pastor, my father. And she started to weep. And I listened to her crying, and I got, you know, teary-eyed myself. I was on the phone. And I says, Rosa, because I talked to her 2 days before, and I said to her, does he know Jesus in the pardoning of his sins, as he said yes to him? And she says, yes, her cousin had called in from the south, and somebody else had come, and she said, yes. She says, yes, he says he knows Jesus and that he loves Jesus. So I said that to her on the Thursday. He says, well, you say a prayer for his soul while he's living. This is a gift to be able to talk to someone about Jesus while you can at that moment. And she said, yes. And so when she was weeping, what did I, all I, the best I had for her was, you know, through prayers. He's with the Lord. I said, let us pray, Rosa. Let me pray for you and with you. And I began to pray, and I heard her feeling better. And then last night, they had a thing that was planned here. The Hispanic Ministry of Long Island West and Long Island East had a service that was planned, and Rosa was over that service. And she showed up. And those Hispanic pastors, when they were all up here, I have the picture, I'm going to put it on Facebook, they filled this whole area of the people, and they had their hands stretched out, and they prayed for Rosa in that place. Let me tell you, that comfort and that peace, I didn't know the words, all of it in between I heard, but this whole section was filled, and they realized she had come to do the service because she had been in charge. And those folks began to pray in Spanish. They prayed for her. They held her up. This is what we're talking about, that gave her the strength to now to stop for a moment in her grief and to say, God is with me. God is here. And I had just come in from the train station and ran down here. I called Ron Fast to pick me up. My train had just come in at and they were here. And I came and caught them praying, the whole church, that group of Hispanic believers, Methodist Hispanic believers. They had come with a were just praying over her, asking God to comfort her and her family as they go to bear. This is why we believe in prayer. And we are persistent in it. So even in that grief of someone goes home to be with the Lord, we are still praying for God's peace. You know, there's a little song that some of us old time, I know more, Marilyn Cusick isn't here. She always knows these little songs. But there's an old song that, a children's song. I don't think they sing it anymore. I want to get now to the word persistent from the text, from the Timothy text. Because we see the gospel text telling us about being persistent. Persistent in asking. Jesus said, ask, knock, seek, right? These are the words he used. He says, we have not because we ask not, says the scriptures. Keep asking, keep knocking. Somebody prayed for us. Had me on their mind. Took a little time to pray for you and me. So there's a little song that the kiddies used to sing. I used to sing it in church. Maybe some of the older folks knew. And it used to be, it goes like this. And I'm going to try it now. You all know that I'm brave. I'm going to try it. It goes, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Do you remember that? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough. One verse. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It's good enough for me. Give it that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Everybody. Old time religion. It's good. Next verse. It was good for our mothers. It was good for our mothers, yes. Good for our mothers is good enough for me. Give us the old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good. One more verse. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is exactly what Paul is telling Timothy. I just wanted to break it down simple. Right? Because religion has been looked at as being, you know, because we hear about organized religion, and religion is a kind of a word that we don't want to use anymore because human beings have come in and we have organized and we've added things that are not good or bad, you know, are not good to religion, quote unquote, in the name of God. I was thinking last night as I was singing this little song to myself, it'd be great to say, give me that old time Bible.
Amen.
Right? Give me that old time Bible. Give me that old time Bible. Give me that old time Bible. It's good enough for me. Because as the scripture says here in Timothy, right? All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. All scriptures. All scriptures. It doesn't say that we have to like all scriptures. God doesn't ask us for our approval. But if we believe that John 3:16 was inspired by God, then we must believe that something that says we should change our sinful way is also inspired by God. All scriptures from Genesis to Revelation is inspired by God. And yes, human beings interpret, and we come out with different kinds of interpretation from our social context, social location, and cultural context. We come up with all kinds of different interpretation. That does not change the scriptures. It doesn't change it. No matter what we do, we cannot change it. We can try to interpret it, reinterpret it, exegesis it, and perform eisegesis. We put things in the scriptures we don't want. We put things, we take things out. We could do all of that. It doesn't change. We could say we're not going to read the rest of the Bible. We are only old New Testament folks. Some people says they only read the Gospels because the Gospels tell them what they want to hear, but they don't read Paul, or they don't read some of Paul's letters, or they're not going to read the rest of the Old Testament. It doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't change God's word that is God breathed. For if one set of scripture is good for us in that book, in that text, in the Bible, then all of it. So, for today, I want to take a quick moment to look at Paul's word to Timothy. And this is my word to you all. That's why I am saying to us, don't stop now. If it was good enough for our mother, and it's good enough for our father, don't stop believing in God now. Don't stop believing in his word. Because listen, there is nothing better out there. Amen. We could read all the books we want in the world. We could go to all the colleges we want. We could get all the degrees we want. There is nothing I could have told Rosa yesterday morning. I could not have taken out one of my economic books and start reading, demand and supply, the theory of demand and supply for her. And that would not have helped her. Didn't matter. But I could just get one word of scripture. Let her know that God is with her, and that would touch her heart. You see, Paul says to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learnt it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. From childhood. Remember, friends, I know some of us didn't like to go to church. Right when we were growing up, I told them today, and I'm sure I've told you this story here before. But we were speaking with Joan, we were talking Joan Kenny, and we were talking something about the scripture in Bible study, and I said about going to church. My mother used to always want to take us to church, but my pops, calling my pops, was not a church going man. My friend Helen isn't here, but I always say that cult group. You know, he was part of that. The lodges. And he only went to church for the high holy days. You know, we have high holy days, Easter, Christmas. And of course, when we were christened and, you know, baptized and so on. But my mother would drag us to church. And we would be in church a long time. Because there's Sunday school and then service. You get a little break in between to eat a little something. You're in the Caribbean. And so, she said, Mom, can we not go today? And she said, I'm getting you to church because I got to get you into heaven. I'm taking you to church because I'm going to get God in you. Got to get you to heaven. So I said to her, I said, but Pops is not going to church. How is he going to get to heaven? And she said, I don't care if Pop gets to heaven. He's grown. I'm going to get you in. So I said to her, because I love Pops so dearly, I said, if Pops is not going to heaven, I'm not going to heaven. Pops got to go too. Because the idea is our parents were trying to do. Give us a foundation. The best they knew. They were not perfect people. And you know what, friends? We think we know it so well. We think we have got it so well with all the books and the classes. Now you have a baby, you have to go to 25 classes, right? You got before the baby is born, they jump out of a cake, whatever they do to find the name of the baby. Somebody jumps out of a cake, I don't know who. Somebody jumps out and tell you the baby's name and jump back in. You know, I've never been to one of those, but I hear these things. Nobody waits anymore, right? They tell you it's going to be a sex and the eyes, but they know everything. Because somebody pops out of the cake and it's not Jesus and tell them. They get the sex, what do they call it, something? Right, gender reveal. You can't have a baby now without gender reveal and get somebody popping out of a cake to tell you. They tell me there's a cake. I don't know. Have you ever been? You all have been to one of those things? Am I wrong that there's a cake that they pop out of? Oh, they're not. That's another party. That's another party. I'm getting that wrong. But anyway, gender reveal. And after gender reveal, then they have then the baby. And then we have a shower. And then afterwards, you know, all of that happens. We have that now. And then we have books. If we try to reprimand our children, their books, psychologists and books, and a couple of slap on the dairy here. You know, I'm going to slap I got on my dairy here. Don't I look normal to you? Or not quite normal, but I'm on the edge of normalcy. Right? But now, we have all this together. You know, all of the old things are no longer good. Right? But our children are in worse situation now than they were before. What are we doing that is so wonderful with all of our books? We got a book. You just have to write a book, how to raise a child, how to raise a child loving you. You cannot speak strong to them because they will not love you. And everybody is worried about their kids loving you. I'm not worried about my child loving me because I don't. Listen, God is going to send somebody to be with me at home. So, to take care of me. So the point is, we don't know all the answers. That old time way of raising children, of our parents sitting down and reading us the Bible stories, even though some of them were so hard to understand, and bringing them up in the church and taking them to the church. I thank God for the young people here, the families here, who are still bringing their children to church to give them a foundation. They may walk away from it, they may come back, but guess what? It will hold them. They will remember things when times get difficult. It will happen, I am telling you. They may walk away, they may go to college and debate and so on, but let them be in college or at school and things are not going too well. Guess who they call mama to pray? If they know that mama is a prayer, or their daddy will pray, or daddy to talk to, or to tell them a word of hope. You know, there is nothing wrong with a lot of the older stuff. Yes, we may have to dress it up because we got our phone now, we could do FaceTime. How about we could FaceTime and tell them about Jesus? It's the old time. Paul is saying to Timothy, remember your childhood. There's something important about telling children about Jesus and the love of God if you believe it from a young age. To give them that thing that will never depart from them. Remember, some people die and leave their children. Some people die and leave young children, some of us. Huh? But you want to leave them with substance. Paul is saying, Timothy, do not follow every wind of doctrine. Oh, come on now. Folks, we have had so many wind of doctrine in the world. Remember one point we had the God not dead story. So many wind of doctrine that have come and gone. And I could run down the list of some of them, but I'm not here to give you all those theological words because they don't help anyhow. But all those wind of doctrine, he says, so remember, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That there's only one way to be saved as Christian believers, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you know another way to be saved, or if you're interested in being saved, or if you think you're perfect and you don't need salvation, then this is not for you. But Paul says to Timothy, salvation through Jesus Christ. There's one who died on a cross for you. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for the teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for the training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Yes. Timothy must persevere. Persevere is another word for persist, to endure, persistence in the faith, and teach others to do likewise by passing along the instruction he has received. Now, friends, today I am your Timothy. I can only pass on what I've been instructed to, what I believe. Right? I have seminary education. I have my faith in Jesus Christ. Sometimes they line up closely, and sometimes they're a little apart. But I can only tell you what I believe. And I'm not here to have a theological seminarian debate with you. If you need to do that, there is Princeton and Yale, Union Theological, a lot of them all over the world, and professors who make a lot of money debating these things. I'm here as a simple preacher woman to tell you that Jesus loves you. He died for you, rose from the dead, and made heaven a free gift for all who believe.
Hallelujah.
And all the books in the world, and I've heard some brilliant scholars came out of the school I went to, and they all turned around and believed. Frederick Bonhoeffer would die for Christ in a German jail. Brilliant. Nietzsche, all of them would believe that there's a God. Martin Luther wasn't a moron. Neither was St. Augustine. When people want to talk about intellectual powers that keeps us from drawing close to God, let not put our intellect become a stumbling block between us and God. So many have tried it. It doesn't work. But I've just come to tell you about a Jesus that I know. And even though I had more education than my mama had, she has survived some stuff that is because of her faith that have allowed me to survive my stuff. Looking Amen. At her faith.
Amen.
She didn't have any PhD, didn't have a doctorate, didn't have a master's. She could read and write, graduated from high school. She's a little woman from Jamaica, but her faith, even in going blind, her faith in God at the very end when she could not see was so strong it made me realize that there is something about this Jesus.
Amen.
So I could only tell you what I know. What I believe, not what I know, but what I believe. And so Paul tells Timothy today, he says, you should do what you believe, what you've been taught. He says, he tells Timothy, there are going to be persecutions. That means there are going to be trials and tribulation. But he also tells him there are going to be deceptive theology will gain additional traction. But again, you must persevere based on what you have been taught at the feet of Eunice. You know, there was his grandmother and all of those folks, right? Right, and Lois, his mother, you must believe, continue to believe, and persevere. And how much we need our faith to persevere through this country now, those of us who believe. Every day we wake up, there is something that tries to tear us down. And friends, I don't know how you get through this, but I'm hoping that you're getting through it by your true faith. And because of your belief that a God is going to bring America out of whatever isms and schism or conflict we're arguing about or whatever, that God is not going to abandon us.
Amen.
Timothy should already be assured of the necessity to persevere. Because of that, he has come to know and believe. For that assurance comes to him from his predecessor as well as from the past. And so he advises him again. In addition, Timothy possessed the exposure to Scripture during his childhood, knowledge and confidence regarding God's salvation. Friends, we are called as believers to keep on believing. And if it has brought you this far, don't stop now. Have you found something better than faith? If anybody asks, please raise your hand because I'm going to have to find out. Right? Have we found something better than trusting in the Lord and leaning not on our own understanding? In all our ways, acknowledge Him, the Scripture says. Huh? In all our ways, have we found anything better that we could call on? A group of people who will pray for you. A group of folks who will come to the hospital for you. A group of folks who you could hold on to in good times and bad times. Do not be swayed. At my age, I was going to say it, but I won't. At my age, that's another wisdom. At my age, why would I turn now? For what reason? Is there something better? That everybody else's life is so great or grand? Could you imagine all the studying I'd have to do to figure out if it's better? But we have a proven track record in Jesus Christ. And it was good enough for my mama. And it was good enough for my daddy. And it's good enough for my grandmama and my grandpa. It's good enough for me.
Amen.
If it brought them through and is still carrying them through those who have loved ones alive, then it's good enough for me. That's simple what Paul, you know, Paul is a rhetorical writer and sometimes his stuff is heavy, but that's the crust of it he's saying to Timothy. Do not be swayed. Hold fast, Timothy. Steadfast and immovable with the help of God. For I am persuaded, Paul would say, neither life or death or sickness or financial problems or ups and downs or whatever it is will ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, even when my prayers are not answered, when I don't understand, nothing will separate me and should separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I say to you today as we close out, remember this little song. Give me that old time Bible. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for you. You have to make that choice. We individually have to make that choice. If what it says here is so. Doesn't mean that we have to agree with all of the books, 66 books of the Bible. But is it good enough for us? And if we truly believe that it's the inspired word of God, God-breathed word, then it will stand the test of time. It has and will continue to do that. Amen.
Amen.